This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, bitches. Welcome to Resting Bitch Face. This is take two. I actually plugged my mic in this time, so you're welcome. I've got my beautiful co-host, Justine, here from the Shore Store and Resting Bitch Face. Hi, Justine.
Hello, hello.
Ooh, before we get started, I know you have a whole list of things you want to talk about. I wanted to bring this up really quickly. I do not want to forget it, but our friends, Carling and Lindsay, have started a new podcast. It's called Seventh Heaven, A Lesbian Recap. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They were going to start it. They were going to release it tomorrow on the 1st, but today's Lindsay's birthday and they got super excited. So they put out the first two episodes and the intro episode. I binged all three of them today. They are so good, so funny. And, you know, we've all been seeing these Seventh Heaven, these crazy TikTok videos about how absurd Seventh Heaven is. And they started from the beginning. So I cannot wait to listen to all of these episodes and just relive the insane absurdness that was Seventh Heaven in the late 90s. So excited.
I'm so excited. I love them both. Happy birthday, Lindsay. And it's going to be a good one. And I love this.
Did you say you had watched that show when you were younger?
I did watch Seventh Heaven. And it's funny because at the time, you know, it was the reruns. I don't think I watched it when it was like actually airing. But I remember I would like come home from school every day and watch the reruns. And I thought, like, at the time, I genuinely thought it was, like, a good show. Like, I didn't think that it was funny or ironic, you know?
Well, I was raised Christian. I went to Christian school until, like, seventh grade. I went to church until 4 or 5 years ago. So I was raised Christian. And so Seventh Heaven was a big deal to us. And, yeah, we didn't think it was cheesy or ridiculous or anything like that. We thought it was, like, serious. Must-see television. And I did watch it while it was originally airing. It was a big deal. It was very serious. And I loved it. So just going back and looking at it, it's so insane. I love it. I'm loving the new podcast. So you guys make sure you check out Seventh Heaven, A Lesbian Recap. We will put a link in the show notes for you and on our link tree as well.
And hopefully we'll have them on soon.
Absolutely. I want to go on that show too. I was going to text and be like, please let us come on and be guests for you.
I know. I really need to like do a rewatch of that series.
Oh, so good.
So you being Christian growing up, did you watch VeggieTales or was that like you were too old for that by the time that came? You watched
it? Oh no, VeggieTales. VeggieTales was one of the things that they would bring in on that giant TV like rolling cart.
Oh yeah,
back when we had tube TVs and you knew like, oh hell yeah, our teacher does not want to teach us today, we're gonna watch VeggieTales. Yes, VeggieTales all the time. I know like the hairbrush song, I know the theme song. Did you watch VeggieTales?
I know for a while when I was like, I don't know how old I would have been, like 11 or 12, I went to like youth group for a bit. Okay. So I know what it is like through that, but I didn't grow up like going to church every Sunday or anything like that.
And I was going to say, I've never met a non-Christian person that had any fucking clue what VeggieTales was.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, never. So it's funny because try to explain that to anyone. Well, they're computer generated tomatoes, cucumbers.
Yeah.
And they teach you biblical lessons and they sing and dance. Oh, so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I loved it though.
Religion's wild. Speaking of religion, Righteous Gemstones season 3 was announced today.
Yes.
Comes out June 18th. And I need to finish season 2 because I don't know why I stopped watching it. Like, I just ended it on an episode and went to bed one day, and I just never pressed play again.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that it wasn't that I didn't like the show or thought that anything like was stupid and I wasn't interested. I just never thought to keep watching it, I guess. I don't know.
I know. Unfortunately, it's one of those shows that I just kind of forgot about until we started talking about it again. And then you showed me that the new season's coming out. So I'm like, okay, I have to go back, finish season two so I can get ready. I love that show.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's just so spot on. It is so spot on when it comes to Christianity, mega churches, religion, non-denominational. It is just, it's obviously satire, but so much of it is so close to what people are actually like in religion that it's just, it makes me laugh. It's fun.
There's a huge church near my house. And if you drive by at like 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, the parking lot is completely full, mm-hmm. like across the street. And this is like a big fucking church. Like, yeah. Right. Like, we literally drive by it and we're like, oh, Righteous Gemstones. And they just bought like an empty lot beside, and it's like, run by, you know, whatever the church is called. I don't even know the name of the church. And this church always, I always get flyers in the mail. Like, they have these Saturday events where there's like carnivals there and stuff. Like, it's literally real life Righteous Gemstones.
The last church I went to was like that. They didn't have their own church. So they were doing it at like an elementary school on Sunday morning. So they just set everything up and tear everything down every Sunday. And we did the same thing. We had bounce houses. We had, I mean, it's all to like pull people in, especially for like Easter. I think they put out like, because Denver's the Mile High City, they had like 5,280 eggs because we're a mile above.
Oh my God.
And so, I mean, like bounce houses, like those balls, those hamster balls you get in and run around, face painters, like always they would have like Spider-Man come on a random Sunday morning. It's all about like, get people in here, get people in here. And it is, it's just like Righteous Gemstones. I swear, it's just like that.
It's wild. Like, seeing the money that
oh, it's
a whole thing. I don't want to like offend anyone and get into like, you know, mocking their religion.
I want to do a Patreon episode maybe about like my experiences being a Christian and being in the church and why I decided to walk away from that. But I have been wondering for several years now why there's all these documentaries and podcasts and investigations going into Mormonism, like Latter-day Saints, this and that. And they will call them cults and they will accuse them of things. And it's like, when, and like Catholicism and everything. And it's like, when are they going to focus in on Christianity? Because it's no different. The things that are happening within Christianity are no different than what's happening in other places. It's just a different thought process. It's kind of interesting because they came out with that Hillsong documentary and now they're kind of looking more into those types of things.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I said, I don't want to offend anyone, but like, I don't know the difference between like Christian and Catholic and Mormon, and I don't understand it.
It's just difference in beliefs. And, you know, everybody thinks that their God and their religion is the correct one. So,
but they all believe in the same God. Inside, it's just, they believe in like a different story, right?
Not particularly, because like Buddhists believe in Buddha and it can be different. Like the Bibles are different. The teachings
talking about
can be
like
different.
Specifically, like, let's just say the top four for me, which is like Catholic, Christian, Mormon, and like Jehovah's Witness. They all like believe in like God and Jesus, right?
In general.
Okay.
I think Mormons, oh God, people are going to be hating me for this. I think that Mormons don't believe that. No. I know Jewish people don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe that Jesus came down. And so that's why they don't celebrate Christmas, because Christmas is supposed to be the celebration of Jesus being born and the three wise men bringing him gifts as a baby, blah, blah, blah. But Jewish people don't believe that Jesus came down. And so they don't celebrate Christmas if they're practicing. So it can all be different things. Like the Book of Mormon, has additional books of the Bible that Christianity like does not have. So I don't know. I don't want to get into all of it because I'm very ignorant when it comes to different religions. Yeah. All I know is like what I was brought up in. And, you know, it'll be interesting to continue seeing the investigations and the podcasts and the documentaries that come forward.
Yeah, I agree with that. Another thing that was announced mere hours ago, which, you know, I'm excited for this at least, is Terrifier 3 is officially in the works. And
oh my God.
As early as November, they'll be starting to film it, which is wild. And Damien Leone had this quote today saying, Terrifier 3 will be another boundary-pushing addition to the horror genre, continuing the no-holds-barred, uncompromising exploits fans of the franchise have come to expect and celebrate. If you thought Art the Clown's reign of terror in part 2 was extreme, you haven't seen anything yet. One of my main goals for Terrifier 3 is to recapture the creep factor present in the original Terrifier short film, which by the way can be seen in All Hallows Eve. That had a genuinely spooky atmosphere that I'm still proud of. If it all goes as planned, part 3 will be the scariest Terrifier thus far.
Holy shit. Yeah, part 2 is pretty crazy. I don't think I've ever seen All Hallows Eve before. I know it was a different Art the Clown. It wasn't the same actor, right?
Yeah, that was Damien Leone's buddy who did that as a favor for him.
Was it good?
It's a weird movie. It's like an anthology movie, so it's just
right.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. It's not, if you want to sit down and watch an actual movie, it's not for you. But if you just want to watch like
Art the Clown kill people. I don't like anthology
stuff. Yeah. And like I said, it's not the same Art the Clown. David Howard Thornton plays the role completely different and looks different. So it's not like a must see.
Well, if they're starting to film it in November, I'm assuming we're going to get it in October of 2024.
They said 2024, and obviously the budget's gonna be
outrageous,
a good budget this time, because they made so much. So that's so exciting, because when I watched the director's commentary on Terrifier 2, he was talking about so many things that he wanted to do and have Art do, but they just didn't have the budget to do it. Like, he wanted Art, you know, the scene where, you know, spoiler, where Art like chops the guy's dick off and then gets in the car and the girl's just in the car with him screaming, and like how they had coke there. He said he like wanted Art to rip a line of coke and then like drag the girl with the car after. And I'm like, that would have been so fucking good, but I guess he just didn't have the budget or the means to do it.
They didn't have enough money for the coke.
So I guess not. So because David Howard Thornton's a diva and he needed some real cocaine.
Right.
But
I don't want any smarties over here. Whatever. I wonder what they use as fake cocaine.
From what I heard from the movie 13, when they're snorting pills, was
what
like
are they using?
Actual. It was like Tylenol or something.
Oh.
Like it was something like a placebo pill, like sugar pills or something.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. I it's probably going to not be the cinematic masterpiece class.
That Tusk is. I knew you were going to say that.
It's funny because earlier today, Amanda sent us this like TikTok of a walrus. And she's like, can you guess why this is showing up in my algorithm? Oh man, I love it. It's like one of my favorite inside jokes that we have. So
I mean, when the second one comes out, like, we're doing a full recap
of Tusk.
Yeah, when the second movie comes out, whenever that's supposed to happen.
I wonder what the hell they're gonna I don't know. I'm excited for that. And then we were also talking earlier about the Human Centipede.
Yeah.
So the first one, I never thought the first one was scary. I thought it was like, I know it's
more
a gross
disgusting
movie.
Yeah, because I know it's a gross like, movie. ew, 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 ew.
Yes.
Like that's the exact reaction everyone has.
Yes. But have you seen it more than once?
Yes.
Okay. So the first time that you watch it, and especially when it first came out, it was shocking. People were disgusted. I mean, and I feel like we hear this all the time now. Like people were vomiting and leaving the theater. I feel like a lot of horror movies are saying that these days, but people were seriously disturbed by the Human Centipede. We'd never seen anything like it before. But on your second watch through, you will notice there's not a lot of gore in that movie. There's not a lot of gross shots. It's all implied. And I think that that's one of the best things about that movie is that it evokes this feeling inside you and your stomach is churning and it's like a physical reaction that you're having. But if you think about it, you're not really seeing much. It's all in your head. A lot of it is left to your imagination.
That's true.
Yeah.
That movie,
you don't see a lot.
Tusk reminded me a lot of The Human Centipede. Yeah. There were a lot of like parallels there. I like the third Human Centipede that's taken place in like a prison, and the prison guard like eats girls' clits, not off their bodies or anything, but he likes to chop them off and keep them in a little mason jar and just like munch on them as a snack, like there's some chocolate covered M&Ms or something
like
that.
Oh my God. I feel like I may have watched a little bit of that movie, like just the very beginning, and then just been like, fuck this. I'm not watching this. And I think I watched the second one because the second one was that weird guy in like the parking garage, right? He was like a parking garage attendant or something.
I don't really remember the plot of the second one, but I remember
the plot.
That baby scene. And I feel like the movie Mother like kind of took the same thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
God, anyways. I have not seen that since it first came out, so I can't really remember. But, you know, his whole thing, like the director, creator of that movie, his whole thing was like, this is the most disgusting thing you've ever seen. And that was like his whole point. It's like he wrote it all the way around that idea. But I do like the first one. So I don't know if I need to see the third one. Do you think that I do?
No. Not at all. Not
I'll
even a
little bit.
I'll just
watch some YouTube video about it. Have you watched Scream 6 yet?
No, and I knew that this was coming. And it was on my queue. And I just can't do it.
It's so good. Just watch it. It's good.
Okay. I will. I saw that Jenna Ortega was caught smoking a cigarette last week. It's
Ew.
All over Twitter. And her fans are going insane. And then I just retweeted something that was like, I don't have an opinion on her smoking because I'm a normal person. It's like, she's a 20-year-old girl. Like, let her fucking smoke a cigarette.
Didn't she start on Disney? Because that's probably why.
Did she?
I think she was a Disney girl.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
Or
maybe on Barney or something.
No, I feel like Barney, Selena Gomez was on Barney.
That was
like
Selena,
that's
yeah.
That's way past or way before her time.
But like, Barney just ended or it's still on or so. Yeah, she was a Disney girl.
Well, whatever. She's 20 years old. Like, let her fucking drink a glass of wine and smoke a
Disney
cigarette.
Disney people are weird. Disney people want you to stay. Like, remember how they threw a fit over Miley Cyrus?
God forbid she had that pull on the ice cream cart at the Teen Choice Awards. That controversy around that was insane at the time.
Yeah, I mean, the Disney people are strange. But yeah, Scream 6, really good. And then speaking of the queue, something that we were so highly anticipating that just came out, The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. There's four episodes as we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. There are four episodes available on, I think that Max has merged with Discovery Plus. HBO Max and Discovery Plus have merged. And so they created Max. So I'm going to be able to get rid of Discovery Plus, which will be nice. And it's on Max and Discovery Plus. It's an ID channel show if you have cable, if you're still living in the 90s and you have cable.
I have cable.
That's because you are a sports fan.
Yeah, that's right? Literally the okay. only reason.
That's what I figured. Okay. But yeah, so Curious Case of Natalia Grace. I watched all four episodes and then I just told you that's not it. They're going to have to be coming out with more because it was not a finale at the end of four. But you watched the first episode. What did you think?
We were all abused. not like the first episode was insane as it was. I don't know what the fuck else happens. The takeaways that I got from it were, first of all, the chick with the Kermit the Frog voice is in it. She was in like a Aaron Hernandez documentary that I watched. So I called her out right away. So she was supposed to be 6 years old, correct?
Yes.
And then their first kind of clue that she wasn't actually six was that the mom was giving her a bath and she had like full blown pubic hair
bush
and then she was like hiding her underwear that she was getting her period in, and then so they were like, okay, this is weird. And then they like took her to see another girl with the same type of dwarfism that she had, but that girl was actually six and was a lot younger,
a lot smaller.
The whole thing is just wild. Standing beside their bed with a knife, put pledge in the mom's coffee.
Yep, but they said she tried to poison the mom two or three times. Did they talk about the electric fence in the first episode?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. So what do you think? Is she a full-grown woman or a young girl?
I think she's like 30.
What?
I see a 30-year-old in that face.
In the videos, the pictures, the
videos.
Those
eyes look like they've seen some shit.
No way. No way. I totally disagree. I don't think she was six. You know, and obviously everybody's body is different. You can get your period. You can mature at different times. You can hit puberty at different times. Get your period.
Not How old were you six, when you got your period?
11.
That's young. So, I feel like of like the girls that I went to school with and that I knew, I remember when I was 11, I had one friend who had her period and everyone was like, what? You have your period? Like, I feel like that's young. Like six, like... I don't really think anyone's getting. I don't think anyone's getting their period at six. You're just past kindergarten when you're six.
Here's what I think. I don't think she was six. I also don't think she was a full-grown woman. I think she was 14, 15, 12, who knows? Within that kind of that time frame, 12 or so. And maybe the adoption agency fudged with her records or
to get her adopted easier.
I don't know, like, or maybe it's almost like a Gypsy Rose situation where it's like Gypsy Rose did not know how old she was. She thought she was like 16 and she was like 22 or some shit. And so I think it's more of that situation, that somewhere along the lines something was mixed up or messed up or whatever. And she was more along the lines of like 12 to 15. Because when I look at the pictures and the videos, I see a child's face. And even though she's a little person and her limbs are different and all that, her face itself looks so young in a lot of those photos and videos. I do not think she was like a 25-year-old woman at all.
Like I said, I only watched the first episode. So does anything come out in later episodes about the actual adoption agency? Because at one point the dad said like, oh, we flew to Florida and we went to this agency and it was like in a strip mall and it was really run down and we didn't even think we had the right address. Like he made it seem like this place was sketchy. Does anything more come out about that? Or
so
that's
far,
just kind of brushed it off?
Yeah, so far I don't really remember anything else being said about it.
Maybe Caitlin and Tyler's Bethany Christian Services aren't as bad as we all thought now.
Yeah. I know. And that's another thing. I'm like, is this a trafficking situation? Was this girl trafficked and then sold? That seems more believable to me than this weird rundown adoption agency, because adoption in the US is like no joke. It costs a lot of money. There's a lot of background checks. Honestly, this sounds like a trafficking situation. And they took this little person and they were like, hey, going to be a hell of a lot easier to get that money and get this kid adopted if they think that she's 6 versus 14 or 15, who not many people want to adopt teenagers. And so I think that's what happened. She may have known, she may not have known. So I don't know.
I'm so fascinated with the brother. Why does he look like her? Like, even though she's adopted and he's their biological son, he had the exact same face as her. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And he's kind of weird. Incredible, like a genius, a literal genius, going to college at like 12 years old or something.
Crazy. Okay, I was going to ask why he had the Cody Brown like clipboards behind him that he was like scribbling on, like had like notes on and like math equations.
He's a
on.
Genius. Yeah. Like then, he was in all these magazines and articles,
oh
and
my
like,
gosh.
Yeah.
I need to know more about him, because it's just his demeanor, how he talked about it. Like, obviously this would fuck anybody up, but like, he really seemed screwed up. And just the fact that he was like sleeping in the dad's basement on a mattress.
I couldn't remember if they showed that in the first episode or not.
In an unfinished basement. Like, when you're this genius, like.
He was super like clean cut when he was younger. Like I said, absolute genius, going to college at like 12 years old or something, in all these articles and in the newspaper, in this and that. And now he's living in his dad's unfinished basement, sleeping on his bed down there with like wild, crazy hair. He seems incredibly like socially anxious and uncomfortable being on camera. Wow. This whole situation has done a number on him. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I do want to let you know, just to hype you up, and hopefully you can get caught up sooner. But he has a little bit of a Robert Durst moment.
Okay.
At the end of episode 4.
I will definitely be all caught up, whatever is out, by the next time we record.
Okay.
That's a for sure, because I'm going to watch it. I just didn't have time today.
Fascinating. It's fascinating. And it's, and no, who's going to like, how will we ever know the answer? I don't even know if there's a way. It's not like humans are not like trees where you can count the rings and figure out how old they are. Like, I don't know if we'll ever have a true answer to it.
Oh my God. Have you ever forgot how old you were?
Oh yeah. After I turned 30, I like couldn't remember how old I was anymore. It's weird to say that I'm 35. That is so fucking weird to me. I don't feel 35. I feel like 28.
Same. But same for you. Sure. Okay. Speaking of like crazy 12-year-old girls with knives, do you want to talk about this Facebook video that I tagged you in?
Oh my God.
I have so many questions that I will never get answered.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm talking about is I tagged Julie in this like police body cam footage video that came up on my Facebook. It's like 20 minutes long. It's all just like a cop's body cam. Same. This happened earlier this week in Oklahoma. If you literally just Google 12-year-old girl stabs brother, Oklahoma, like there's 100 million articles that'll come
up. I actually think it happened in January, but they released the footage now.
Oh
yeah. Okay. So it did happen like more towards the beginning of the year, because of course I went down a rabbit hole of like articles and what happened and what's going on. It was crazy.
This 12-year-old girl, I guess, in the middle of the night, when her 9-year-old brother was sleeping, just went into his room and stabbed him a bunch of times. And
in the
then
chest.
Went to her room and threw the knife out the window. And the mom like heard him screaming, like a loud, crazy scream, and thought he was having a nightmare and went in there and saw the blood. Like, just like I can't even imagine. And just the girl on the body cam footage was so fascinating to me because she was like, oh my God, I'm so fucking sorry. I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did. But then all of a sudden she just goes calm out of nowhere. And she's like, you don't need the cuffs on me. Like, I'm a good kid. Oh my God, I don't know what I did. Like, she is going in and out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's just so fucking scary because it's like, what made her do this? Like, she, I mean, who knows how crazy or not this girl was before that, but like, I don't know, it's just so fucking scary that you can have a kid and they could be a legit psychopath like that. Like, we need to talk about Kevin shit. Like, that is terrifying.
Yes. And so your initial thoughts when you saw the video, you think she's full of shit? Do you think she was acting, or do you think she was legitimately genuine? Because you said she's going in and out a lot. She's panicking, and then she's calm.
I felt for her at first.
Yes, me too. I still feel for her
because it's like there's something going on in her head. Mm-hmm. She clearly knows it wasn't right. It's not like she was walking out with a smile and was like smug about it or anything. Yeah.
No.
Or like stone-faced. It was, I don't know. I don't know what to feel because the whole thing's just crazy. Yeah.
Her mom comes out the front door and she's like, you stabbed him. Why the fuck would you stab him? And she was like, you better fucking hope that he lives. And I mean, and she's crying, mommy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know what I was doing. And yeah, I felt for her the entire time. Like, my heart ached for her, for the mother who's just lost both of her kids in the same night. Like, and she does go in and out of panic. And then, am I going to be able to go to school tomorrow? It's like, No, you're not going to school tomorrow. And I honestly think she had a psychotic break. It seemed like
at
she 12
years
out.
Old.
It seemed like she completely blacked out.
Yeah.
Had some kind of crazy psychotic break. Did this. And some people were saying, oh, she threw the knife out the window. She was calculated, blah, blah, blah. No, that was panic. Holy fuck. What did I just do? A panic reaction, a trauma reaction of like, get rid of this, throw it out the window. I think it was total, like maybe some real mental illness, like hiding underneath the surface. And she had a total break because they also show footage of the mother in the, like in the room with the police officers and they're talking to her and everything. And she says several times, I don't know why she would do something like this. I have never had a problem with her. She has never been violent. She has never been angry. She has never hurt anyone. I mean, this totally blindsided everyone. No one saw it coming. No history of mental illness. No history. They did say that she had some cuts on her arm that looked like older cuts, like she was self-harming. But that doesn't mean you're going to like kill someone in the middle of the night. Like, it's devastating. Totally traumatic.
I felt so bad for the mom. She was like sobbing, like they fight, but just like normal siblings fight. Like, yeah, not like this.
Nothing has ever happened. It's never been violent ever.
It's a wild video to watch.
Heartbreaking.
If anyone's up for it, just like I said, just Google that. It's in Oklahoma. All the articles and footage will come up right away.
Yeah,
you won't have
just
a problem finding it at all.
Just look up 12-year-old stabs, brother. It will come up everywhere. It is like a 24-minute video. I was fascinated by all of it and devastated at the same time. I mean, this poor mom, it's not like she did anything wrong. She wasn't ignoring signs. It wasn't a we need to talk about Kevin situation where the entire life this child has been terrifying. This was out of the blue one night. I mean, awful. Awful.
So sad.
Yeah. I'm going to need to go. We're going to need to put in a trigger warning, I think, at the beginning of the episode and timestamp this.
Okay.
So.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Can we switch to something a little more lighthearted,
please,
out of the blue, as I like to do? I like to just switch.
Yes,
you
please.
Know. Have you watched the new Pete Davidson show, Bupkis, yet?
Not yet. It's in my queue. Is it good?
So I only watched the first episode. Only the second came out today because they're getting released like weekly here. No, in the States, I think you can watch all of them, but in Canada, they're getting released weekly.
Okay.
So I watched the first episode and I fucking loved it. I'm going to watch every episode as they come out. It's like dark comedy vibes, which is my favorite. Edie Falco plays Pete Davidson's mom, which is incredible. And Joe Pesci plays his grandfather. And it's just so fucking funny. It's so good. He just pokes fun at himself the whole time because he plays himself, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he's famous in the show. And it's good. I loved it. It was only 20 minutes long or something. So short episodes.
Okay. I'm going to need to watch that.
Trust me. I wish I could binge it.
The trailer looks weird. And weird can go one of two ways for me. Weird can be like Tusk, like it's one of my favorite things ever. Or weird can be like, that was stupid for me. Can go in either direction. But I love dark comedy too. Like, that's my favorite. I love shit that should not be funny. I think that's why we both love Terrifier so much. Like, there's some of the darkest stuff that is so funny in Terrifier.
One of my favorite Adam Sandler movies is Funny People. It's like I remember when that movie came out, like leaving the theater and everyone being like, that was the worst movie, because the trailer made it seem like it was going to be like this comedy, and then it ended up being so dark. I'm like, that was one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. Like,
yeah,
I love dark comedies.
We should do an episode or a segment about like underrated movies or movies that other people hated that we loved.
Oh, I thought you were going to say our favorite Adam Sandler movies, because I'd be down for that list too.
That too. Although I'm not a huge Adam Sandler fan, because he does have very like in your face comedy. And I typically am not huge on that. I like more of the dark comedy, like little things here and there. Versus
Literally Daddy.
Screaming in your face.
Oh, that movie is so fucking good.
It is a classic.
Like, I will sob every single time at that. But I wipe my own ass.
Oh, the Sprouse brothers.
Yes.
So cute.
Or, we wasted the good surprise on you.
I have not seen that in forever, but I keep telling myself I need to rewatch it.
Yes, you do. Classic. Yeah. He's so hot in it, too. Adam Sandler,
that
man.
That was him in his prime.
What a just underrated person in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
He made that Jack and Jill movie and everyone forgot he existed.
Oh my God. Well, no, then he's done a couple of those murder mystery movies on Netflix. Oh, and
Uncut Gems. So good.
Okay. I couldn't finish it. I got like a third or halfway through it and I was like, this fucking sucks, and I turned it off and never finished it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I was so into that movie, it like made my heart race the whole time.
I felt like a prude because I was like, all he said the word fuck like 500 times in the first 20 minutes, and so I felt kind of prudish about that, but I was just like, what's the hype? Maybe I should try again.
Oh, it's so good. His performance is like incredible in that. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple other things that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Yellow Jackets finale. Horrible.
I'm not caught up
horrible.
To that.
Ugh. What a...
Okay, well, don't spoil.
I'm not gonna spoil anything, but I'll just say I loved the season, hated the finale, and I heard through the grapevine on another podcast that apparently Yellow Jackets is going to be a 5-season show.
What?
How do they have that much storylines and content for 5 seasons? I don't get
it. They're gonna bring it out.
I didn't think there was gonna be a second.
I thought it was just like one of those limited series, like Sharp Objects or something like that, where it's like one season, that's it, it's over. I don't know. It might have been better if they did it that way. But I think I'm like two or three episodes into this season. I did get started, but I'm not far into it yet. How many episodes are there? Like eight or something?
Nine, which is weird because last week you said it was going to be the finale. And I was like, no, because that's episode nine. Like, why wouldn't they make it 10 episodes? Is that just my OCD? Like,
probably.
It needs to be 10 episodes.
I'm still super stoked about Cruel Summer. And that's one that you never watched, right?
No, but I want to.
And that was, I think that was an ABC Family. So you probably have that on HeyU or
whatever. I have to buy it. I have to buy the season on YouTube.
Well, depending on how much it is, it's probably worth it.
But when does the new season come out? Because I'll try to watch it before
that. Not until like later in the summer, I think.
Oh, okay.
But I'll have to double check on that. But yeah.
Well, I will just so I can, you know, fit in with the Joneses.
And I think Cruel Summer is going to be the second season, I think, is going to be a completely different story with different characters.
Oh, which is okay. Fine.
But yeah, the first season was really good. I would love to talk to you about that.
Okay, I'll watch it. I have a list. I also, did you ever end up watching that series Candy with Jessica Biel?
Yeah, I didn't love it though.
Did you watch the version with Elizabeth Olsen, like the Love and Death, Elizabeth Olsen and Jesse Plemons? It's the same story.
No, is it better?
Well, I didn't watch either of them. Oh. But now that I know the story and I watch the trailers and everything, I like Elizabeth Olsen and Jesse Plemons. So
I love Jesse Plemons. Yeah.
I wanna watch it. But so I was just wondering if you've, because I remember when Candy came out, you were like asking me about it, if I was going to watch it.
I watched it. I didn't love it. Thought it was okay. But, and then Jesse Plemons, I'm pretty sure he's in Midsommar because I was watching that again the other night. Now you've seen that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you watched it more than once?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. I highly recommend watching that again because, as you know, that movie and, you know, Ari Aster, everything is huge on symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe, I think you would really like it to watch it a second time because there's a lot, even though I think I only got like a third of the way through before I got tired and went to bed, I started noticing all kinds of little things in the background, things that are like foreshadowing, just things that I completely missed the first time around. So I definitely think you should watch it again.
Okay, I will. I know that he has a new movie that just came out that I've heard was like incredible.
Oh yeah. He's talk about an underrated actor. Jesse Plemons, absolutely. He's been in a lot of stuff. But
Friday Night Lights. It's actually hilarious because I saw a tweet that was like, the last time the writer's strike happened, Jesse Plemons on Friday Night Lights like killed somebody and lit a car on fire. Like, it was the stupidest storyline ever. And I'm like, that is
God, true. I didn't remember that. Jesus.
Oh, you don't remember when Landry killed the guy because he like attacked what's her face? The girl that I can't even think of her name. Anyways. Okay.
I did not remember that, but holy shit, that is quite a storyline.
Friday Night Lights, the first two seasons were so good. And then I think it was season two. I loved the whole entire series the first time I watched it through. But then when I tried to rewatch it recently, I think it was season two where it ends off with like Jason Street knocking up that random waitress and she like wants to get an abortion. And then he like convinces her to keep the baby. And he's like, I never thought I'd be able to have a baby because I'm in a wheelchair. So like, you have to keep this baby. And then she's like, you are a one night stand. Like, you're not going to convince me to keep a baby. Like, this is the rest of my life. And he's like, no, you have to. And then she's like, fine, I will. And we'll work it out and be together. And then the show after I saw that, and I'm like, okay, I'm not ever watching this show again. That was the stupidest thing that could have ever happened.
I remember loving the whole series, but if I watched it again, I probably would feel like, nah, this is not that great. I just remember loving that show.
There's a really hilarious moment with Michael B. Jordan, because of course he's in the last season of that show, where the hot coach is
so
like,
hot.
Son, you ever play football? He's like, yeah, Madden.
I fucking love Michael B. Jordan.
He's
so fucking hot.
He's a celebrity that doesn't have haters. There's like certain celebrities that nobody hates, and he's one of them.
It's just so beautiful. He's so fucking beautiful. Woo-wee.
Yeah, he's hot.
I have to fan myself now. But I was gonna say one thing that I love Jesse Plemons in is you've seen Game Night, right? It's Jason Sudeikis and
it sounds
Rachel
familiar.
McAdams.
But
he
is
plays
it
like,
old kind of?
Yeah, it's from 2018. But he plays Gary, and he's like one of, he's like the neighbor that they never invite to game night because he's like weird, and he's like a security officer or a cop or something, and they don't want to invite him, but he kind of like finagles his way in there. And I just think he's really funny in that movie. I just love him. Isn't he married? Who's he married to?
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, that always blows my mind when I think about it.
Why?
I don't know. They just don't seem like they would be together. I don't know.
Why is that, Julie?
I just because, okay, I think of Kirsten Dunst. I think of Bring It On. I think of Crazy Beautiful.
I love that
How
movie.
Hot was that movie with Jay Hernandez? Oh my God.
I watched that again not too long ago.
Does it hold up?
I liked it, yeah.
Nice. It's always exciting when something you loved as a teenager still holds up.
The Virgin Suicides.
Oh my God.
So iconic.
I haven't seen that. Oh my God. I haven't seen that in forever. That was a very controversial movie.
I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was definitely an it girl for quite a while.
Oh yeah.
One of the things that I remember the most about Kirsten Dunst is that she never wore a bra. Not in movies, not on red carpets.
Same with
not
Jennifer
out to get
Aniston.
Coffee. I've never noticed that before.
Oh, like every episode of Friends,
well,
she's
of Friends,
like breaking glass.
They did it on
glass.
Purpose on Friends. They probably had her sitting there with like cans of soda on her nips.
I never wear a bra either. Like today, I wore
to.
A dress without a bra.
Hey, I just got a bag of stuff delivered from Shein today. So hopefully it's decent. Had to get some work clothes.
Gotta love fast
you
fashion.
Ever order from there?
I've never ordered from Shein before.
Okay.
But I've ordered from like Fashion Nova and Zaful.
I know. I was talking to somebody about that recently, and they're like, oh, you know, they're sweatshop workers, blah, blah, blah. And I think about it and I'm like, all of your clothes comes from overseas. Just because you buy it from Kohl's or Walmart or Target does not mean it's made in the USA based on a livable wage. What happens is that these big corporations buy their clothing from overseas, get them here, and then charge 20 times for it, or 50 times or 100 times what they paid for, and make a profit. So,
I always have this conversation with my friend because I'm a fast fashion girl, like, you know, Charlotte Russe, whatever. Mm-hmm. We have our Canadian versions of that. And I love crossing the border and going to like Windsor and Charlotte Russe and all those stores too.
God, Windsor's still open?
Windsor's still open. I'm actually,
what?
I think I'm going to cross the border next week and
I don't know if it's
go
open
there.
In the US.
And it's open in Niagara Falls, New York.
Really?
I was there like a month ago and Windsor was open.
I legitimately cannot remember the last time I saw Windsor somewhere.
But I always have this conversation with her because she hates fast fashion. And she's like, it's so bad for the environment because you'll buy like a dress or a pantsuit or something and wear it one night. And the quality is so shit that you have no choice but to throw it out.
I literally have never done that.
The environment gets like, you know, filled with all of these clothes, and she's like, that's why you should just invest in statement pieces. And I'm like, no, because I'm cheap
Yeah.
And I just want a pair of shorts to wear for the summer or like whatever. And I don't want to spend $100+ on them. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I have stuff in my closet that's like cheap, fast fashion, or, you know, this shirt's from Walmart. That's mostly where I get my stuff, is like Walmart, Old Navy. That's all fast fashion. I've had that stuff for years. I've had it for a long time. I don't think there's ever been a time where I wore something once and then threw it away. But, and then also the thing about,
I mean,
like,
I definitely have,
and,
but I've donated.
Yeah. But like, it wasn't like just falling apart. So you had to throw it away. But, and then this thing about like sweatshops and stuff like that. Okay. Does that sound bad from an American's point of view? Yes. But these people and children, it's not uncommon for people in third world countries for their children to be working at a very young age, whether that's standing on the corner in a shop and helping their family sell things or working in a factory. You are providing jobs and money and like roof over someone's head and food for their family to eat. Even though it's less than what an American would require to live, I think we would be doing a disservice by, I feel like I'm going to get canceled on this statement, but if we took those jobs away, that would be devastating to those families.
I mean, I honestly don't even know anything about sweatshops, but I will say that all I know is that Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful on Dragon's Den and Shark Tank, he would always say to people when they're like, you know, our business is American made and we only have Americans working for us. And that's the pride. And he goes, why, when you can just get it from China for 5 cents a piece?
I think it's another, like, it's a mutually beneficial thing. It's, you know, like, we are, as North Americans, getting fast, cheap fashion, and they, in a third world country, are earning a wage to support and feed and clothe their families. So, you know, and I think the thing is, from people from America kind of see it as, oh, well, you've got children working in factories for 5 cents an hour. Well, 5 cents an hour in America, of course, is nothing. 5 cents an hour in a third world country could be a dinner. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just, I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far to say that, but.
Well, not 5 cents. I'm sure they're making more than 5 cents.
I get your point.
You know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah. To completely change the subject, as
please,
I
do because I feel like I'm digging myself deeper and deeper into a hole of cancellation.
I know that last time I brought this up, you were not into it at all, but now that you're into Vanderpump, I'm wondering if you'll be a little more excited for it, because I'm so fucking excited. This month, like this Monday coming up, is going to be the premiere of that Stars on Mars show, where it's like a Mars simulation, but the cast is incredible.
Tell me the cast again.
Tom Schwartz, Portia Williams, who's my favorite housewife of all time from Atlanta.
Okay.
Marshawn Lynch. For those who don't know who Marshawn Lynch is, he's basically like a former NFL player. He used to play for the Buffalo Bills. He played for the Seattle Seahawks. He played for a lot of teams, but he's famous for doing those interviews where he wasn't answering questions and he's like, I'm only here so I don't get fined. He's got like a wild personality. Him,
yeah.
Ronda Rousey,
okay,
Christopher Mince Pease, aka McLovin.
I was gonna say McLovin.
Tinashe, underrated, okay. Superstar,
pop star, yes.
Like, just such a random cast of characters in there. And I'm
excited.
No,
they're not actually sending them to Mars. This is all like simulation, right?
So William Shatner is like the host of the show or whatever.
Okay.
And I watched the trailer today. He says it's the most realistic simulation of being on Mars there.
Why the fuck is Lance Bass not on that? Because he never got his chance to go to space.
Honestly, I think they probably asked Lance Bass and he was probably like, I'm too good for this bullshit. So they asked Tom Schwartz
space
instead.
That's a possibility. I'll watch an episode. I'll watch. Where did you say that's going to be?
It's going to be on Fox.
On Fox. Okay. So I'll have to find out where that stream's at. Probably Philo, I think. But it sounds ridiculous. But it could be interesting. And it actually might be something that I could get Ryan to watch with me. Because he's a space nerd. He wants to go to Mars, like, legitimately. And I was telling him, like, you would leave me behind to go to Mars and never come back, wouldn't you? And I really think that given the chance, he would.
If you had the chance to go to space, would you?
Fuck no.
Yeah, I don't think I would either.
No, that shit is scary.
To think that I would. Like, I like to think of myself as the type of adventurous person, but I'm really not.
I'd be claustrophobic. I'd be bored. Yeah. I'd be losing my mind.
Five seconds after that rocket launch, I'd be like, fuck, Vanderpump Rules is on tonight. Why didn't I just stay home?
I know. I'd be like sick of eating that powdered shit all the time. Fuck that. Hell no, I ain't going. I feel the same way about Mars as I do about Naked and Afraid. I'm like, you motherfucker, you would leave me behind and never come back just because you want to be in Mars. And whatever, you want to go to Mars, you want to go to Africa naked and get shit crawling up your pee hole, good for you. Go have a good time. I'm staying right here.
I watched one episode of this show that I've never heard of before over the weekend, similar to Naked and Afraid, but they're not naked. It's called Alone. And
I've seen a couple episodes of that.
Okay. So you know the concept. So
I don't like it as much as Naked and Afraid.
Okay. I don't think I've ever watched a full episode of Naked and Afraid, but now I want to after seeing this show, because the show was wild. They basically just drop people off, like, literally in the middle of nowhere with camera equipment, like, mm-hmm. 60 pounds worth of camera equipment that they have to film themselves on. And they get, like, I don't know, five objects or something that they can bring, like, if they want to bring, like, yeah, a crossbow or something to hunt with. And they're just out there with, like, wild animals and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, the season and the episode that I watched, they were in, like, I don't know, somewhere in, like, the friggin' mountains of Canada. And there was, like, a lynx. And the lynx was, like, staring this fucking bitch down. And she was like, that's a lynx. What do I do? And she was just like, I'll just stare at it back. And I'm like, how can you be so calm? And then she's like, you know, Canada has, like, an Endangered Species Act, so I can't kill that. It's lucky. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, an old man who thought he was, like, shit, and he, like, fell and broke his leg and had to, like, get carried off first. It was so funny because he was, like, the cockiest person. Yeah.
I have to admit, like, when I first heard of or started watching Naked and Afraid, I thought it was, like, ridiculous. Like, why do I need to look at this person's butt crack while they're climbing a rock, right? It is fucking fascinating. It is such a good show. And they just started a spinoff called Naked and Afraid Last One Standing. Highly recommend trying that if you haven't watched anything. Or the Naked and Afraid XL challenges. Because typically on regular Naked and Afraid, it's a 21-day challenge. The XL challenge is usually like 40 days to 60 days. And the Last One Standing, which is what we're currently watching right now, is like 40 or 45 days. The reason I like Last One Standing is because that is a competition and they've never done a competition before. So it's interesting to see the personalities. You know, they start off in groups of two. You can only be medically tapped and have your partner stay. But if you choose to leave, your partner has to leave too. So you could sabotage someone else by leaving yourself. And typically on Naked and Afraid, you only get to go out there with one primitive survival tool. And you're naked. That's it. You're naked. You have a map. You have a bag. You have your one item. Could be a knife. Could be a primitive bow. I mean, it's interesting. And they'll take them all kinds of places. Africa, the swamps of Louisiana, you know, the mountains of Colorado. They had a season in Alaska, which was like the most boring season ever because it was so cold. The whole season was just them, like, basically starving and trying to stay warm in their shelter.
Why would anyone want to do this? Like, I would never.
Every time we watch it, Ryan's like, I want to do this. And I'm like, go for it. I'll be here with my heated blanket in bed watching you on TV. thinking that you're crazy. No thanks.
Yeah, fuck that.
No, I don't. No, thank you.
Yeah, not my type of thrill seeking.
My biggest fear, like, I don't even like to wear shorts out in the woods. I don't want something to crawl into my vagina. That is like my biggest fear.
Yeah,
I can't imagine being naked.
And like, well, I don't know if they like would film around this, but like, what if you have your period?
I think I asked Ryan about that. I think they give them tampons, but you never see them because it's all blurred. But I don't even know if
they've
ever
talked
about
it. But like, what do they do
with them?
Just chuck them in the woods? But wouldn't that like attract bears?
Maybe they give them like a trash can or something for that. I don't know. A bear-proof can, maybe?
God, Jesus Christ.
I don't know. It doesn't sound good to me. Yeah. You got anything else?
I mean, we can talk about 90 Day Fiancé because it's finally over.
I know. Next week starts before the 90 days. So I would say The Other Way and Before the 90 Days are my two favorite iterations of 90 Day. So I'm excited for that, but I haven't even looked up the cast or anything. I don't even know who's going to be on it. Have you looked at any of that?
No, but I'm down to watch. I mean, I like the show. I just feel like it drags out.
It does.
Like, the episodes do not need to be 2 hours. And you know what? Friggin' TLC, if you're going to make these episodes 2 hours, at least put them on Discovery Plus on Sunday mornings like you used to. Because
exactly,
I used to, like, even like with Sister Wives, like I used to wake up every Sunday morning and like throw it on while I was like eating my breakfast, having my coffee. And even if I didn't finish it, then it would be so easy to just finish the rest of it later. Like,
put on the Love to Hate live stream.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh. Those were the
no, I know
days.
They don't do that. That was weird that they changed that up this season. But yeah, I haven't looked at the cast yet, but I do typically love Before the 90 Days. The reunion, I don't know why the hell it was three parts. I learned nothing in any of it. Sean Robinson is an awful, awful reunion host. I want Andy Cohen in there. He's going to ask the real fucking questions. He's going to be like, Chris, how much meth were you doing for those 5 months that you were back in Alabama?
No, this is Andy, because Andy's so passive aggressive. He's like, so you're telling me you weren't on drugs? Okay, that's the type of shit Andy does. It's so funny because the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion part one aired last night, and I saw on Twitter somebody was like, my favorite part of watching Housewives reunions is just like watching Andy's body language and trying to figure out who's not coming back next season.
Yeah, we need him. I'm fucking stoked for this.
Two more things about Andy before we move on to 90 Day. Okay. Because you know how he hosted the Kardashian reunion? I think you and I did an episode on it, actually.
Yes.
He did a podcast and he was talking about that. And I already knew this, but he just confirmed that they had like a full, like, hour long conversation about beauty standards and plastic surgery and everything. And Kim told him in the conversation, we're not going to air this, so it doesn't matter what we say because they have final say over everything. They're all producers on the show. And then the podcast host was like, oh my God, we need like an Andy Cohen cut of that. And he's like, yeah, but they have the tapes. Like, but
yeah,
that's what happened. And then the other thing, I think it was the same interview, but obviously he was asked about Scandoval and he was like, and I 100% agree with Andy, come for me if you want, but he was like, you know, Tom Sandoval made a mistake that he's probably going to regret for the rest of his life with the amount of hate and backlash that he got. But the way that people are coming after him is insane. Like, he's a reality star. It's, you know, it's horrible what he did, but he didn't kill anybody. He didn't murder anybody. You know what I mean? Like, we need to just, you know, not send him death threats and leave bad reviews on his restaurants. And if you don't like him, then don't support him. Like, all of these people are going to his shows and yelling Team Ariana and holding up signs, you're a worm with a mustache. And it's like, you do know you're still giving him your money by going to the show.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, it kind of reminds me of some of the crazy people who stalk reality show stars. I mean, that's kind of what it reminds me of. There are people out there who will drive by people's houses or follow them into restaurants or take photos of them without them knowing. That is just so freaking creepy to me. Regardless of how much I love the show or I'm interested by it, you will never catch me fucking stalking one of these people or like going out of my way to make a big fuss in person.
Oh, if I was in LA, I would go to Schwartz and Sandy's. I would go to Tom Tom. I'd go to Sir. I would do a whole fucking tour and do everything.
Well, you wouldn't go there and throw a drink in their face.
No, I would go there and I would if I saw anyone from the show, I would ask them to take a picture with me,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. But I would not follow anybody, film them without their knowledge or anything mm-hmm. like that. Like, that's so fucking weird.
It's sick. It's weird. Very weird.
It's sick.
There's a lot of people like that out there, and it blows my mind every time I hear of an instance like that.
Man, the creepiest thing that I did was friggin' drive by Justin Bieber's house in Punchlich, Ontario. I can never say it. And you can't even see his fucking house because
so it's far away.
Gated off and there's bushes and there's so many signs that's like, this house is under security. Not that I would actually park my car, but it's just like, oh, cool. He lives there. You know, he could possibly be there right now. But to even like on Teen Mom, I remember, like Chelsea at one point saying like people have like knocked on her door and like asked her to
into their house once.
Someone broke into their house. She said that someone knocked on her door when she was pregnant with Watson and asked her to touch like her pregnant stomach.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What's wrong with people?
Yeah. I mean, I could never handle that, man. I'd be all stoned answering the door like, no way.
What? Yeah, no, it's crazy. I can't believe that there are people that exist like that out there. And there's a lot of people that encourage them too. It's so weird to me.
Yeah, it's
very strange.
It's weird. Okay, for the 90-day thing, I have like two, not really gossip, but just things I saw on the internet about the cast this season. Okay. The first is that Nicole and Mahmood are still together. Did you see this? Like mm-hmm. he flew into LAX and
I was
going to
say, I heard that they were
seen
together in the
US. Saw the video. Yeah. She has like red hair now. Like her hairstyle is still the same, but it's red. And she like ran up to him and jumped in his arms. And
were they filming?
I didn't see camera crews. Like this was taken from like, someone's cell phone, like a fan or something that spotted them, potentially a stalker. And the other kind of insight, and after watching this part of the tell-all, I find this fascinating, is that Danielle recently flew back to Dominican to see Johan, and he didn't pick her up from the airport. Wasn't at their apartment, ghosted her, and she went on live, like, I don't know, Instagram live or something, and she was smoking a joint, like all stressed out, being like, he ghosted me, da da da, like he's nowhere to be found or seen. And after seeing this tell all air, I'm like, oh, he wasn't fucking around.
He was serious. But she treated him like shit the whole fucking time. And then just thought that she was going to get away with it. And he had enough. Like sometimes people will let you push and push and push until you get to that last fucking point. And they're like, done. And they cut you off and they fucking mean that shit. So.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't have treated your husband like shit on national television all that time.
I mean, he told her multiple times, like, this is a boundary for me. I don't, you know, even though you think this is normal, I don't think it's normal. And I don't want you to hang out with this guy. And she laughed in his face and was like, it's my way or no way.
Yep.
And you know what? Some people have that personality that it's like, it's my way or no way. You know, Katie Maloney from Vanderpump Rules is one of those people. And those people, those people just need to be with somebody who's going to follow them around.
Or just be alone.
Like a little puppy dog, which is fine. That works for some people, but yeah. It's, you know, Johan's not that guy. Johan wants to dominate the relationship and he's not going to do that with her. I think that they had good sex, but they hate each other's personalities.
I think he was willing to put up with a lot of shit to get to the U.S. And then once he figured out we're not going to the U.S., he was like, fuck this, I'm out. It's not worth it anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a big double standard when it comes to their relationship, because a lot of people will be quick to call him controlling. But like you said before, he was just setting a boundary and he explained to her, this is my boundary. I am not comfortable with this. I do not want you to do this. And if you do this, there will be repercussions. There will be massive damage to our relationship. And she did it anyways. And if the woman, if the tables were turned and this was a woman saying, this is my boundary, I'm not comfortable with this, this is really going to damage our marriage, and a man went and did it anyways, people would be losing their minds over that.
Yeah.
Huge double standard.
Like, obviously, I don't know the history between these Tim and Veronica people, but, you know, for some reason, they made them part of the tell-all. So they came out, and I guess they're in a similar situation where, like, they were together, but now they're friends. And even they were like, oh, if we're in a relationship and the other person, like, doesn't want us to hang out, like, we understand that and we don't hang out. But I also think it's different with them because, like, their friendship is clearly business at this point because they do the show together. So it's a little bit different.
Well, they've been friends for a long time. And there was no reason for her to have to continue this relationship with Taylan. He's some dude she used to bang during quarantine. Is that relationship so important to you that you would sacrifice your marriage over it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing. It's her husband.
Yes.
She's married to this guy. It's not like he's her Dominican fling.
Dating.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like this is the person you're trying to spend the rest of your life with. You need to listen to them a little bit.
Get your priorities straight. What's more important to you? Oh, I fucked Taylan for a couple months in 2020. Or I married this man. Pick one.
Jesus.
Insane.
She's a piece of work. But honestly, she's entertaining for TV.
Oh, yeah. She's great TV because we all love to hate her.
Yeah. Johan's done, though.
Mm-hmm.
I love, though. Like, I'm actually going to try to find that Instagram live. I mean, I'm sure the whole thing's probably recorded somewhere. I just want to see her like sitting in their apartment smoking a joint like, well, Johan is gone.
Yeah, well,
gotta call
Bubba.
Told
her on the reunion, once this lease is up, I'm the fuck out of here. He is hot enough that he will find an American woman that will bring him here.
Doesn't he have an OnlyFans already?
Oh yeah, he's had one. That's why Debbie was like, you're always going to be known as the guy with the big ding dong.
Not a bad thing to be known for, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if I'm being honest. So.
There are way worse things to be known for, yeah. Yeah. I did think it was kind of nice to see Gabe and Monica fix their shit.
Yes.
He's the worst communicator ever.
I was genuinely surprised by her. She wasn't as big of an asshole as I thought she was going to be on this reunion.
She looked banging in her dress. Oh my God.
Yeah, I loved that dress. Oh, I loved that color.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that she maybe saw the footage back or heard their side of the story, like Isabel's side of the story. I think it genuinely hit her when Isabel was like, my mom made you a dress to wear to the wedding. I think that that's what like tugged at her heart a little
bit.
She
felt like a total asshole for not showing up when she heard that.
Well, she should feel like an asshole because it's like, come on.
Yeah, but at the same time, would they not have done a fitting for her? They have to make sure the dress fits. Like, it's a, you know, It just was so strange to me that she didn't know the colors of the wedding. She didn't know the mom made a dress. She never tried it on, had it altered. Like, what? There was like zero communication about this wedding, it seems.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
It's not like going into a David's Bridal and grabbing something off to the rack and throwing it on. But like, if someone makes a dress for you, they need to know your measurements. You need to do a fitting. So like, how did all of that not happen?
I don't know. Maybe Isabel just said that to like get her to cry.
So, because remember she said like my mom was up all night with the dresses and finishing things, and she said that during the show, the episode, the finale.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, like whatever, it was nice to see them make up. I still don't like when people's like family members try to fucking get involved in the relationship. Just yeah. Like Mahmood's fucking goof brother. I wanted to fucking go through my TV and fucking so bitch slap the shit out of both of these fucking
when
goofs.
They were laughing. Well, and then he's
I don't
like,
understand how Nicole can look at that and be like, yeah, I want to go home and have sex with him. So like, I would look at that and be like, bro, you're a clown. Like, that's such a turn off.
Liked Mahmood's brother, but as soon as he said, like, I told Nicole I'm her brother before I'm his, I was like, oh, this guy's totally full of shit. That is such bullshit. What are you talking about? You met her a couple years ago and you're saying that she comes first. That is total and complete
clown.
Bullshit.
Clown.
Yeah.
These
and then they're sitting there laughing.
Taught to like manipulate and fucking and then manipulate women, put women down so fucking far that they don't think that they can get anyone better, that they have to be like, okay, you're stuck with me, therefore you better cover your whole fucking body up or else you're not worth anything to me. Like, I have no idea why she flew this fucking clown to the States, why she's gonna try to give him a better life. Like, she's a beautiful girl. She seems like she's very smart. Her self-esteem is just in the fucking trash.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, totally off topic, sorry. I saw that MGK and Megan Fox were hanging out again. And I'm like, that's another woman who's like, I listened to her Beyond the Blinds episode. That's another fucking woman who's so gorgeous and talented, and her taste in men is
so
trash.
Yeah.
It's like, bitch, like, you can literally get any guy you fucking want.
Anyways. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, it's too much of a coincidence for me, this Chinese woman talking to Mahmood about selling a TV or something. The fact that Ahmed's wife is Chinese is way too much of a coincidence to me. I feel like maybe she's a friend of his wife's, or I think they had something to do with that connection. I don't know.
Ooh. I didn't even think of that.
It's just too much of a coincidence for me.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but either way, why is he talking to a girl and then laughing about it after? Like, and then why do you want to be with him when he just embarrassed you on one of the most popular reality shows? Like,
I just, what do they have foundationally in common? Nothing. She's like, I'm going to wear my hair and my clothes the way I want to, and I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. He's like, you have to be a traditional Muslim woman. It's not like they laugh and love and they have all this hot sex and their chemistry is off the wall. And like, it doesn't seem like any of that is going on. So it does not make sense. It doesn't make sense why she would sacrifice everything she believes in. And he would have to make sacrifice. I don't get it. What is there?
I mean, the only thing that I can think of is that her self-esteem is so low that, I don't know, he makes her feel some type of way and makes her feel like she can't do anything better. It's like, it's abuse. I wouldn't be surprised if he physically abused her. Like, we saw him grab her arm.
That was crazy.
I mean, grabbing an arm and
she
like
did
doing
push
other
him
things
first,
like,
though. So, like, I understand the immediate
I'm just
reaction
saying,
of
I wouldn't
like,
be
hey,
surprised
don't do that to me.
if it came out that he did physically abuse her. He definitely emotionally abuses her.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of abuse, the clip with Jamie and Chris, where you see her fucking shove Jamie from that van, and everybody watches the clip and they go, ooh, and nobody fucking says anything about it. I was listening to something earlier today. It had to be another podcast or a video or something. And they said that Debbie was on live or on something. And she said the reason no one went in on Chris is because they were specifically told not to be harsh on her because they had concerns about her mental health.
Well, then she shouldn't be on the TV show.
She's a walking symptom. Like
you can't always film something wrong with a TV her. Show like this, and then all of a sudden, like, our morals are going to come into play.
Yep. Like,
no, that's not what reality TV is about. Like, I'm sorry.
Now, do you believe Chris and her mom, or do you believe Jamie about the amount of money that was sent?
Jamie pulled up the receipts. Chris doesn't have any receipts because, quote, the bank closed her account because they thought someone stole her identity. And it's like, first of all, the bank doesn't just close your account like that.
They'll freeze it if
they'll freeze it, yeah. But they don't just fucking shut it down because they think someone stole your identity.
Well, like, and the reason that her mom was sending PayPals is probably because she had some kind of thing with PayPal where she couldn't get an account through them anymore. Like, maybe there was a fraudulent transaction, or maybe her account was in the negative for however long. And PayPal shut it down and was like, you can't have an account with us anymore. Because you can fucking set up a PayPal account in 3 minutes. So why would she have to transfer money to her mom, have her mom send it to Jamie, unless she could not get an account? And that is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
She's a liar. Know. She's a fucking weirdo and a liar.
She's a drug addict.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she just wants to play like innocent, and Debbie's over there going saying that Jamie's a predator. It's like, wow, says you're the only person on the planet that thinks that, but okay. So weird,
it's like, I don't know, I'm pretty sure if Jamie was gonna play an American for some money, she's a little smarter than that. She could have found someone who actually is gonna send her money. She could have found herself a Ben, as in like Ben and Mahogany.
Yeah.
She could have found someone like that, you know?
She says on the show, you don't see me asking her for shoes or clothes. She never took me shopping. Like, yeah, we didn't see any of it.
Yeah.
It's insane. Chris is a crazy person. Jamie, you need to get your ass in therapy. Why did you choose this person? And I'm sorry, Jamie is not cheating if Chris ghosts her for a month. Your relationship is over. That's not cheating.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris is just grasping for straws. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite part was when they were like asking everyone how they felt about it. And then when it got to Osama, he was like, I tried to understand, but I just don't.
Like, yeah. Us too, Osama. And we speak English and we still don't understand it.
So. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. that's all it. I mean, besides Jen yelling at Rishi, if your mom ever brings up my age again, we will never speak again. Never.
She needs to go to therapy too. She is very sensitive about her age. Like, too sensitive.
I know.
Try to understand that it's a different culture. My God, people. It's not like being in the US. It's not the same.
I just don't understand these people, like, yelling at men thinking that like you yelling at them is gonna like change everything that they've ever done their entire lives.
No, and they try to go to another country and like force the people in that country to change. It makes zero sense. Like, this is centuries old tradition. You, Jen from fucking Oklahoma, are not just gonna pop right in and change everything. You have to adapt. Or you need to go to America and he has to adapt. But don't think you're just going to show up and change the world.
Yeah.
Insane. But that's the fun of watching this shit show, I guess.
Yeah, it's true. There's there's a lot of classic stories that come out of it. And all in all, it's a great show. It's just dragged on a little bit. I don't think the episodes need to be so long, but like, I would rather have them cast less couples per season and have shorter episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Well, I mean, the new season should be starting on Sunday for Before the 90 Days. So we should, next week, we'll be able to talk about the new cast members, talk about maybe some predictions, what we think is going to happen. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I know. It's always like exciting at the beginning of it.
I know. You get like new people. And yeah, it's going to be good. And then Natalia Grace, you got to watch that.
Yeah, that's on the list.
Get caught up.
I got a lot of time for TV, so don't worry.
Good.
I'll fit it in.
For now, until I do, the big move.
I know. But, you know, until then, the TV's still up. The other streaming services are still
TV
there.
TV will be the last thing that comes down.
Exactly. Straight
an air mattress.
Straight up. It's like they're taking the TV off the wall. And I'm like, no, we need to get this out in.
Wait.
Before we go... I know that tomorrow you and I are going to be recapping the Vanderpump Rules
part two
reunion finale. Part two that airs tonight as we're recording this. One just like hilarious thing that I saw on Reddit that I wanted to bring up really quick.
Yes.
Is someone had a thread and they were like, if Jax was still on the show when this came out about like with Raquel and everything that's going on, like how would it have gone down differently? And one of the answers was Jax would have banged her first and Brittany would have taken him back. And I was like, yes.
Do you think that would have happened?
Yes, 1,000,000%. That's how I think it would have gone down.
Shit. Well, and there was also an episode of Jax and Brittany's podcast where they had Sheena and Brock on.
I was just listening to that before we... Because I listened to Lala's and it just auto played like right after Lala's did. So okay. I was like halfway through it before we started.
I'm not subscribed to the Jax and Brittany podcast, but I'm going to because I listened. I think it was Amanda sent us in a group chat that clip. And I was like, oh my God. I don't even remember what it was about. Oh, it was about how people saw on the Mexico trip. People saw Sandoval and Raquel making out here, hanging out there. They're starting to finally hear all of these accounts of people that saw them doing different things and in different places. And then I guess somebody was supposed to stay in Rachel's room with her. And she had told her friend, I don't remember who it was or if we know who it is, if they're even on the show. But her friend was like, okay, so it's cool if I stay with you, right? Because like, it's cool with production and everything. She was like, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. And then right before when they got there, she's like, oh no, production said you can't stay with me. And the theory that Brock and Sheena had was that in order to get her own room, Rachel told her friend it was fine that she could stay with her and then told her she couldn't. So then she had her own room that she and Sandoval could fuck in.
But the balls to do that while your girlfriend is there, like
he's not a like they're
not saying it's any better, but
people.
It's one thing if Ariana wasn't even on the trip, like then it's obvious you're gonna do it. But how do you have the balls to do that while they're on the same resort as you?
Because they're selfish, awful, narcissistic people. Like they're terrible people.
And how do you even
do
get
not
away
care
with that?
Who they hurt?
How do you even get away with that? Because, listen, I'm not victim blaming Ariana here, you know, as much as it might sound like it sometimes. But if I were Ariana, I'd be like, where the fuck's my man?
Mm. Yeah.
Where is he?
Well, it sounds like she's used to him being off doing his own thing while she's doing whatever. So
exactly.
I don't know.
Which
it's
is why
disgusting.
I believe him, though, when it comes down to they lived kind of separately for
lives.
A long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make it okay, but
no,
yeah.
It doesn't make it okay, obviously, but.
And then they also said, I think Brock was also saying that Rachel, so we heard on the finale that Rachel had sent a letter.
Yeah, on Watch
Sandoval,
What Happens Live.
Watch What Happens Live, okay.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and Ariana's like, well, I didn't open it because it's not my mail, but it did come from Rachel. And then after that aired on Watch What Happens Live, Rachel then sent a postcard.
A postcard. Wow, I was going to try to do the Australian accent and it just did not come out the way I wanted.
And it was coincidentally after that Watch What Happens Live had aired where Ariana said she couldn't open it because it wasn't addressed to her. And so really interesting that this fucking bitch sends a postcard so that Ariana can plainly see whatever was written to Sandoval. What a little bitch.
I mean, the whole thing's interesting, obviously. And one thing that I love about Vanderpump Rules is you can literally talk about it nonstop because there's so many different things that are all happening at once. And, you know, everyone views it so differently. Like when I was hearing Amanda say that, like, she hasn't seen Katie be horrible yet, I'm like, are we watching the same show? Because all I do is see Katie be horrible. I don't understand it. It's so fascinating how we all view it so differently.
Yeah.
But another funny thing that was said on that same podcast, Jackson Brittany's, was Sheena was saying that Raquel was obsessed with the show Euphoria and she'd always talk about it and stuff. And they're laughing now. They have this theory because, of course, in Euphoria, the best friend has sex with the boyfriend or whatever. Yeah. So they were like, is she trying to draw inspiration from Euphoria? And I was like, I never thought I'd hear like a Vanderpump Euphoria crossover, but I'm living for it.
It's a shit show. It is a total mess. And I can't fucking wait for Peacock to put the episode up tomorrow so I can watch the reunion.
Yeah, we're going to...
The pumped up edition.
We're going to get into it. Raquel's coming out. I, you know, the two clips I saw today, Allie's going to be out there. Yeah.
Now, this is how you do a tell-all. This is how you do a reunion. 90 Day Fiancé should take note.
All, like, housewives are like this. Like,
so good.
So good.
Oh, I love it. Well, if you guys want to hear our in-depth discussion of the Vanderpump Rules finales, we already have one of them that is up on Patreon. Tomorrow there will be another. We're also going to do the third one. So you're going to get a, you know, full in-depth conversation on all three parts. And there's a bunch of other stuff on there too. Already some backlog from which, like, I mean, we've been podcasting together for the past like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
So not always on resting bitch face, but on crossovers and guest spots for each other. And so there's a lot of stuff on there. So go to the link tree in our bio or go to patreon.com/restingbitchpod. Sign up for $5 a month and you're going to get a bunch of bonus content ad free. You guys are going to love it.
Yes, do that. It's, yeah, I'm so excited to get it's into this stuff. The Vanderpump of it all.
I'm so excited. And then find Justine at the Shore Store podcast, everywhere you listen and on Instagram. And yes. Resting Bitch Face on Instagram and everything.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. Off to watch VPR.
Off to watch VPR starts in 20 minutes. One last thing I'll say is maybe tomorrow we'll drop some stories. Because remember, I had a few stories that are like, say for the Patreon. So maybe maybe tomorrow, if we have some extra time, I'll drop some insane stories about my family and my life so that you guys can be like,
Yes, I've been dying to hear that story. I can't wait. So thank you guys for listening and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye, bitches.